बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundar. Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe Jai Gauranitai Gauranitai गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत इस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् द्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा सो द होल पर्पस ऑफ दिस फ्यू डेज ऑफ सेमिनार्स इज टू इंस्पायर एंड motivate devotees to study the Bhagavatam, to go deeper into it, to hear it, chant it, read it, think about it very seriously as a regular activity in Krishna consciousness, considering its supreme importance. And in that connection, we have been hearing various facets of the Srimad Bhagavatam about why it is so exalted, where it derives its authority from, what its connection to the other Vedic literatures is. And yesterday we also began discussing the topic of qualifications that one should have to be able to hear, understand, read, and recite or chant or speak about the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first thing we saw was that one must hear only from the right source. Yeah, so I think we had finished this first part. And what were the main points we discussed as far as the qualifications to hear and speak are? Number one? Yes. You should hear from right source. But what is the meaning of that right source? It's the person who is speaking should be in the proper disciplic succession. So if one is a speaker, one must not speak until one has connected oneself to an authorized disciplic succession. And if one is hearing, one should not hear from a person who is not connected to an authorized disciplic succession. And second, the person Bhagavat of just a formal connection to the parampara is not enough. One must actually practice what one is preaching. One must practice in one's life the teachings of the book Bhagavatam, and then one becomes a person Bhagavatam. Then one should hear from such a person who is sincerely repeating the words of the previous acharyas and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and who tries to live a life sincerely in accordance with the teachings of the book Bhagavatam. And who are the people we should not hear from? Somebody who has not answered so far. Okay, would you like to answer? Who are the people we should not hear from Srimad Bhagavatam? From Mayavadis. Okay, why? Yes. It is milk touched by a serpent. Why? Why? Yes, they deny the form of Krishna, and the Bhagavatam is all about Krishna. So therefore, they have no authority to study or speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Correct? So, okay, one point. We should not hear from the Mayavadis. And I'll tell you one thing. Again, another personal experience. In this seminar, I've been sharing a lot of personal experiences because this is very important. We all learn by our experience. Many years ago, there was somebody who kept persuading me to hear the bhajans and kirtans of a famous saint. And he was only talking about Krishna. Now he is no more. And so he gave me a cassette. In those days, there used to be these audio cassettes. So we heard the cassette. It was, I think, 45 minutes each side, something like that. So the whole cassette was just glorifying Krishna. There was bhajans, there was kirtans, and he was talking so many things. Nothing was objectionable. Till the very end, the very last 1 minute or 2 minutes of the whole cassette of 90 minutes, in that 1 minute talks about merging into the cosmic oneness. Just one sentence. If you transcribe that 90 minutes, it would be
quite a few pages. In those bunch of pages, just one sentence, merging in the cosmic oneness, finished. Everything is gone, spoiled. I took that cassette. Through then I realized, never again hear from those who may be famous, and others may say, yes, yes, it's, he's just preaching Krishna Bhakti. But unless he's in parampara, you can be sure he will not speak the correct philosophy. Somewhere, he may speak some things which are common, he may speak some things which are right, but there will be other things which he will speak which cannot be right. Because the only way you can learn the correct things fully is when you are in the parampara. And this is Srila Prabhupada's credit. He has given us not only the original scriptures, but he has given us his commentaries and translations, his purports. That is what explains everything and sheds light to make everything very clear. So we should not be taken in by what other people say. That this is just like what you people say, it's only Krishna consciousness, but it is not. So therefore, he was a Mayavadi latently. But Mayavadis, I mean, they don't have two horns, and it's not that they look demoniac with Dracula-like teeth or something like that. They're, oh, here's a Mayavadi, we should stay away. They can look just like you and me, and they can even look very saintly. They can be accomplished saints, very well known in this world. So therefore, one judges a person not by how he or she appears, but by what he speaks. Of course, and how he lives also. But by the speech one can understand. It is said that a fool does not reveal himself till he starts speaking. One cannot understand who is a fool till he starts speaking. Similarly with a wise man. You can't understand who is a fool and who is wise till the person starts speaking. To external appearances, a fool may look like a wise man may look like a fool. But when he starts speaking, then you know what is what. So the Mayavadis, you don't know. It sounds also like that for a considerable amount of time. And then the one sentence will come somewhere. It's like that one drop of poison in the milk. That, as you said, you gave the example. Just one drop of poison in the whole pot of milk, and the whole pot of milk becomes poisonous. So that is a poison. You know the principle of these powerful substances is that poison, even a small millimeter or milligram of it, can actually spread throughout the body. I was reading some report that just a small quantity of mercury, if it is released into a huge lake, all the fish in that lake will be killed and they won't be able to revive it again for many years. Some environmental report of how so much of mercury can spread. I think homeopathy uses the same principle, maybe all medical science, that little bit of medicine just spreads throughout the body. Similarly, poison also. A little poison taken in and spreads throughout the bloodstream everywhere. So similarly, this one little drop of poison that comes in and then spreads everywhere. And for example, in this cassette, if he had not mentioned this one sentence, I may have heard some more. So even though the words may not explicitly say that, but in his consciousness he is a Mayavadi. So his words are full of Mayavadi consciousness. Just like you're dipping something there and sprinkling the water. Okay? Dipping, sprinkling. So his words are dipped in his heart of Mayavadi consciousness. That's being sprinkled on your ears. And you're hearing that. So we're absorbing what is there in his consciousness. What is in our consciousness comes out in our words. And those words, they carry the consciousness of the speaker with them. And when we hear those words, we are also imbibing the consciousness of that person. It's very important. we can imbibe the consciousness of people in different ways, by glances, by words, by physical association, sitting close to that person. There are many ways. That's why you see some saintly people, they don't sit on any public place. They'll carry their own cloth always. I've seen some sannyasis doing that in other sampradayas. Wherever they go, they will have their own mat. They will never sit on any other person's mat, because they don't want to get affected by other people's consciousness and things, especially footwear and things like that. Even in Brahmacharya Ashram, we should not exchange footwear. You transfer karma. We have enough on our head, our own karma, to deal with. So we needn't take everybody else's karma with us. So then these speakers, they speak all this, and we get affected by that consciousness, slowly, slowly. So Mayavadis is one example of those we should not hear from. Who else? Yes, yeah, somebody, let's see, who has not answered so far? Yeah. Yes, who earns money by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam? For whom recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam is a source of livelihood. So why is that objectionable? What is the difficulty with that? And then what happens? If he has a fruitive mentality, what happens? Yes, it influences those he's speaking to. If a person is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam with the idea that I will get more money out of this, or I will get name and fame and prestige and I'll become a big person in society, get a big following. So that is a fruitive mentality. So that fruitive mentality, through his actions, through his words and so on, will affect the audience also. So those who are professional reciters also we should not hear from. Anybody else we should not hear from? Yes, Sanak Sanatan. Yes, those who indulge in sense gratification, who don't lead pure lives. So why is that not harmful? Or why is that harmful? Yes, so his consciousness will affect our consciousness. So if he is indulging in too much of sense gratification, when he speaks, even though he may not speak about sense gratification, he may speak Krishna Leela even, but through those words, his consciousness of sense gratification will impact our consciousness. So that, like this, basically anybody who is not in the parampara, or even if somebody is in the parampara or not, if he is not leading a pure life, is indulging in sense gratification, is doing it for the sake of livelihood or earning money, or philosophically is very much off, then we should not hear from such persons. But if somebody is in the proper parampara, if somebody is trying to lead pure life as much as possible, is very sincere in following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, let's say an ISKCON devotee who is following Prabhupada's instructions, fully following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds minimum every day, and so on and so forth. Even if that person is a new devotee, there is no problem hearing from such a devotee. Because so long as that devotee is repeating the words of the previous acharyas and is sincere in the practice of Krishna consciousness as taught by Srila Prabhupada, there is no harm at all hearing from him. Even though that devotee may be a new devotee, may not be an advanced devotee, it doesn't matter. But the regular habit and practice of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam must continue. So we saw that qualifications for hearing and speaking are very stringent. We also saw how in the process of hearing, the two Bhagavatas, the concept of the two Bhagavatas was mentioned also. The person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. And when we say Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we must serve the Bhagavatam every day. What does it mean? Who would like to answer? Somebody who has not answered so far. Yes. So, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya means hearing and reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is that all? Yes. Serving the person Bhagavatam, correct? Because Bhagavata Sevaya means two things. What two things? Yeah. How do you serve the book Bhagavat? By hearing and reading. And then you also serve the person Bhagavat. So both things are important. And in one of these purports, Prabhupada talks about this is really a nice sentence. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. Human reason and logic cannot explain these things. It's a transcendental process that is going on. So every day when we are sitting in the Bhagavatam class, there is some miraculous phenomenon taking place. Some miracle is happening there every moment that passes by. Something is happening in our hearts, in our consciousness. And we are getting purified. We are making progress on the path of pure devotion. And one can see directly the presence of Lord Sri Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam if one has heard it from a great self-realized soul like Shukadeva Goswami. Yesterday we concluded with how to ask questions. Now would somebody like to give a small 5-minute discourse on how questions should be and should not be asked in the Srimad Bhagavatam class? Anybody? New person who has not spoken so far. Who would like to try? Dharmatma Prabhu, you want to speak? Yes, you can come here and speak. He will never ask questions the wrong way, for sure, but you can tell us.
As you mentioned yesterday that we should not ask questions to humiliate the speaker. Mm. We should not put him in a poor light, that I am asking something I know better than you. As you mentioned one practical instance also.
So just try to summarize, what are the ways the question should be asked and what are the ways, 1, 2, 3, 4, and what are the ways question should not be asked, for what reasons it should not be asked, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Huh? First, we should encourage the speaker.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like for example, we hear many times, if a devotee, we see it all the time in our Bhagavatam class. Before the devotee asks the questions, he says, Prabhu, thank you very much for your nice class, I have a question now, isn't it? Many devotees are spontaneously doing it anyway. Not just artificially, they are genuinely meaning like that, and they say. So, but we don't have to be artificial about it, just because we are told to do, we must do. No. It's a natural thing. So that encourages the speaker, that's happening all over in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, second
and,
point.
Also you mentioned that the goal of asking question is to clarify the genuine doubt.
Yes.
And the second is we should ask question to increase the taste, the taste.
And sometimes a devotee may know the answer but still ask the question. Why? We gave an example yesterday. Who would like, some new person who has not answered so far? Someone, yes, Prabhu.
Yesterday,
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that is the nature of a sadhu. The sadhu inquires. And of course, the speaker will give so many new realizations on the topic. The answer may be there, but you may get so many different variations of the answer. It makes it all the more exciting. Okay, so these are some of the reasons.
Also,
and then how else should a question be asked? What is the way to ask a question? Yeah, one second. Anything relevant to this? Yes. Huh? Okay, for the benefit of others. Yes? The question is asked for the benefit of others. Okay. Any others? How should the question be asked?
To increase the taste.
No, how? That is why. But how? How should it? Submissively. Submissively it should be asked. One should not become... It should not be asked in an angry way or in an arrogant way. It should be submissive. It should not be asked in a challenging spirit. That is important. Even if what the speaker says is something wrong, even whatever we want to say should be said in a proper way. Okay, and what are the ways that it should not be done? One is it should not be done in challenging spirit or in angry spirit.
To prove a point.
Or to prove a point or to raise a controversy. Anything else? You mentioned earlier. Yeah, that you mentioned. Also to show that, well, exhibit one's own knowledge. So anyway, thank you. So these are all the different ways or whys and hows of asking questions. Actually, this is a whole topic in itself. Questions and answers is a subject that needs a lot of discussion, and we should learn this culture by studying Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedas and Puranas. We see that. So I thought this, that this time, before we go on, there's a lot more to hear on this topic. We haven't finished the topic of qualifications to hear and speak, but we'll take a break for a while from this, from my discussion, and I'd like to ask a few devotees to come forward and give their realizations or their experiences and so on hearing, studying, reading, speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam. How Srimad Bhagavatam has impacted their life, what kind of experience and benefit do they get, what kind of realizations have they got, whether it is attending Bhagavatam class, whether it is giving Bhagavatam class, whether it is reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or whether, whatever, understanding some principles from Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll ask Janardhan Prabhu, would like to come and give us some realizations. Yes, come. Maybe you can come here. Yes. And this is one thing that we can all benefit from, the experiences of everybody else. You can, yeah, come. Will it impact?
Hare Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord, none other than the Supreme Lord Himself. So it's very purifying. And in Vrindavan, it is my duty to look for the speaker of the Bhagavatam. And somehow I always kind of pray to the Lord to give me intelligence how to do this, because it's not so easy. I have to see that the person who's going to speak is qualified, as we have just heard. The listener must be qualified, and the speaker also must be qualified. It's not because one is a senior devotee and he's qualified. I look for sincerity of the devotee who's going to speak. I look also in ways that he is knowledgeable in the scripture. And I arrange it in such a way that seniority goes first, who's going to speak. Just like if there is a newcomer just came, and you are with a senior devotee, you don't speak. You let that senior devotee speak first, or let him preach, because you will learn so much from him. So in Vrindavan, it's like, if one gives Srimad Bhagavatam class in Vrindavan, it's compared to like 100 times you're giving outside of Vrindavan. This is how intense Vrindavan is when you give Srimad Bhagavatam here. And if there is nobody else that I can find, then that is the only time I will give Srimad Bhagavatam class. I could have given like every day, but no, that's not the way how it goes. You always give the devotee the preference, because you will learn more from hearing. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that you cannot understand and realize Krishna by your brain technique. No, you can only understand and realize Krishna by hearing. By hearing from the person who knows the Bhagavatam. And one time, Prabhupada was asked, do you have to associate to the person who is the writer of the Bhagavatam, or the translator, or the one who gave the purport? So the disciple was referring to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is not present right now, but we are associating with Srila Prabhupada at the same time when we read Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada said that, I didn't write this actually. This was dictated by Krishna himself to Srila Prabhupada. So because of my service, I don't usually like read. I would hear though, from the classes or lectures of Srila Prabhupada, I can read, and I'll try to attend as much as possible the Bhagavad Gita classes, be there. Actually, hearing is very important. Srila Prabhupada said, you can learn in different ways. You can learn through experience. Then you may get into trouble first through experience. You may hear from hearing. Hearing is the first class. Understanding knowledge. And others, after hearing, they still don't learn, because they are so obstinate. The mind is so obstinate. So when it's time for me to give the class, then I started to read. So much that I would see first how Srila Prabhupada would say on that subject matter. And also I will ask myself, what is my realization to this? What did I learn from many, many years that's been in Krishna consciousness? So, and others actually, they think that they don't have to be there present in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. You cannot replace being there than what you will be doing. You cannot sacrifice hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in person. You can say, oh, I have something else to do, so let me hear from FM. Right? Because nowadays we have, you know, MP3 players and all these things, right? So, oh, I'm doing something else, but I'm listening to Srimad Bhagavatam at the same time. That is not the same. That is not the same as like being here and hearing Maharaj's lecture or seminar later on. So we cannot sacrifice being there personally and seeing the person who is giving the class. It's like you cannot sacrifice worshiping the Lord, because being there is the same as we have hearing. There's no difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and the Lord. So when you are there, you're actually seeing Krishna when the person speaks. And many things can be said. You know, sometimes when I give class, then many things will come, even if it's not planned. But I always have a notebook with me, just in case I will run out of something to say. But most of the times, I will never open this book also. But I know what's inside my notes. So Maharaj was saying the other day that we should write notes, especially when we study Srimad Bhagavatam. So I compose, I write many things, but in my mind I always like kind of put it in different category or in systematically, that in such a way that when I started speaking, I know also what's inside. I don't have to depend on it. So we're very fortunate to be in Vrindavan to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from many, many exalted personalities. If you're in a small temple, you will never be able to have the chance to hear them. Let's just say, for example, Chandigarh temple. Okay? You will never be able to hear the calibers of our speakers here in Vrindavan. So we should take advantage as much as possible to hear attentively. Srila Prabhupada says we should hear by oral reception. Even though we don't know, Prabhupada said that in the purport also, that even if you don't know what is the person saying, but if you are sincere and you're really eager to understand what is being said, you may not know. You may not have a clue at all what's going on, but this will have an effect inside. This is what you call aural reception. Prabhupada sometimes, even if there is his European and American disciples present, he will speak in Hindi. But it doesn't matter. The spiritual vibration is there. It's like if there is a fire, you may not know what a fire is in English or in Sanskrit. You may have a different language. But if you say, there is a fire, it goes. It goes inside. It has an effect. So similarly, it may take us many lifetimes to fully understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. But if we are sincere, Srila Prabhupada said, this will get clearer and clearer as time goes by. So since there is no difference between Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam, so every time we read Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna's darshan is getting closer and closer. We can see Krishna through the Srimad Bhagavatam, since there is no difference. The explanations for the last few days in the morning Srimad Bhagavatam classes, giving the description of Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan, we don't have a clue what does he look like. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us what he looks like. And for those who are Paramahamsas, they can relish really Srimad Bhagavatam. So now, since we are still in a jaundiced condition, even though it says that the book Srimad Bhagavatam is for the Paramahamsas, we are still in the crawling stage. But somehow, we're getting the taste. If I miss one class, I feel very, very bad. I feel very, very bad. And if you hear the Bhagavatam and it still lingers on after the Bhagavatam class, sometimes the class is so good, the devotees will be still talking about the Bhagavatam class after prasadam time. And it's so good that even during the day, I can still remember what the speaker said. And even after a few days, I can still remember what I said also in the Bhagavatam class. This is how powerful it is. Not just me, but what I've heard. And sometimes you will hear other devotees, they're still talking about it after a few days. So how powerful is this? This is Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, being Krishna consciousness means constantly. Not just after 1 hour, it's finished. Constantly. So by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, this is none different than Krishna, will be able to somehow other in the future or in near distant or near future see Krishna or have darshan of Krishna. So that's some of my realization, and I'm sure many more things to say, but
no, time is not a problem.
I really envy others who are like very, very well versed, just like yesterday's class in Madhav Maharaj. It's amazing. It's amazing. Who were there in the class yesterday? Madhav Maharaj. Oh. You know what? This is not like one lifetime. Maharaj has been many, many lifetimes ahead of us. It's amazing. We don't know what he's saying, the Sanskrit, but it's so nice to hear, isn't it? And I don't want to leave. Usually, because of some service, by 9 o'clock, I have to keep moving. But then I didn't say, Maharaj, stop. I just want to hear more and more from Maharaj, because it's so relishable. Huh? If this is like a mundane talk, then everyone will leave in a few seconds. But this is transcendental, so we want to hear it more and more. Actually, the more you are relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, the more you are relishing Krishna consciousness. And if you don't have a taste in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then the taste in Krishna consciousness is far away. Very, very far. So sometimes I would ask question, but my question actually is meant for me. But I think also that if I ask a question, I would think that it should be also very, very important for others. So most of the times I will ask questions to the speaker of the Bhagavatam, which is very, very good for me, for my spiritual practices, and also to help others. But I'm not asking it just to make a show off that, hey, I'm a good questioner. No, I genuinely try to ask question which will give benefit for everyone, but especially for me. So this is one good criteria if you want to ask question, not just for yourself, but think of a question which is very important in your spiritual life that will affect also others. By asking this question to the right speaker, then he, you know, it's like, what's that, boiling the milk, it becomes more and more condensed. And Maharaj, Madhav Maharaj was giving class yesterday. I was there in the Bhagavad Gita class. So he was saying that actually asking question means relationship. When you ask a question to the speaker of the Bhagavatam, you build up some kind of relationship with that speaker. And when you build that up, that this is for a lifetime, till you go back to Godhead. Because your question that will be replied, the question that will be replied by the speaker will have so much impact in your spiritual life that you will treasure this for the rest of your life. It is not just you ask the question today, then you've forgotten it the next day. No, it's there. So the connection between the person who is asking the question and the speaker is there. You get a good relationship now. And this is what it's all about. Krishna consciousness means is relationship. If we don't have good relationship with each other, then how can we have a good relationship with Krishna? It doesn't work. So I think I will stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I just want to hear more and more from Bhakti Rasamrita Swami.
Yes, before that we want to hear from others too. Jai, thank you Janardhan Prabhu. Nice realizations about how it is important to realize that we are in Vrindavan Dham. And hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in Vrindavan, so much more multiplied the whole effect becomes. And secondly, because we are here, we get to hear from so many variety of senior devotees, so many different types and styles of lectures, so much to learn. So we are very, very fortunate that we can get exposed to all these different things. And plus how it impacts us, it lingers on in the mind. If you are hearing attentively, it just strays on and on. And this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna and consciousness. So if Krishna remains in the consciousness, then we are Krishna conscious. So by hearing attentively, the things tend to linger on. Some nice points Sanatan Prabhu made. So next Sanatan Prabhu, you want to come and speak something? Your realizations on reading, studying, hearing, speaking, whatever. Yes, why not?
Hare Krishna. Actually, for me, it was very interesting. From my childhood on, I was always looking for some deeper meaning in life. I was always wondering. I was the other kids were playing with the balls or this or that. I was sitting somewhere in the forest. I was always wondering what this whole procedure is meant for. Very beautiful in Germany, you know, like you think with the rishis are sitting, very beautiful forests, rivers, very beautiful place. So as life was going on, at some point, I got a little bit serious. I stopped meat eating, then I stopped drinking, ganja smoking. I was a bad guy type of a... Hare Krishna. So, anyhow, then I really, I had some experiences from my last life, so from my childhood on. Then I started reading a lot of books about past lives, regression, then I started reading a lot of philosophical books. And I really wanted to know why I'm here, what is the purpose in life, and how the ultimate question was how to get out, how to get out of this situation we're in, taking birth again and again. I read a lot of different books, and nothing made sense. By a clear study, you could always see in the beginning of the book is one thing, at the end of the book, they're contradicting themselves. And I was getting more and more desperate. Then finally, I remember thinking of coming to India. So then I thought, let me go to Berlin. I had been many times earlier in Berlin. I had friends there. And then I had one final last habit. I was like once a while smoking a cigarette. So I wanted to give that up. And I decided I'd do some 1 week, 10 days fasting totally. And with that, I will eradicate. And after 2-3 days, I was in Berlin. I was just very free lingering around. I met a devotee on the street. So he had a mantra. He said, you know, in the West, the book distributors have a mantra. He had that mantra, we are students and we are giving out those books. So when he said students, then for me the shutter went down. I didn't want to have anything to do with academic knowledge. I had figured out this is all cheating. And so he showed me, but I had fasted, I was light, I was free, everyone else was running. So I listened to him, I looked to all the books. And then I said, okay, fine. And I started to walk off. And then Krishna must have put him the right mantra in his mind. And he said, hey, you come back. I have something very mystical here. And I like kind of stopped. I didn't have really anything else to do. I stopped and I thought, mystical, that sounds interesting. So I turned around and he went to the down of his bag and he took out the 1-volume edition Srimad Bhagavatam first canto and put that in my hand. And just the size of the book was like very impressive. And then, you know, it has that Radha and Krishna and the lotus and all the Vishnu planets. It was like bright blue with yellow stars. I was getting very much attracted. And I bargained him down to the BBT price. He almost started crying. And I took it home. And I remember I took it home and I didn't waste time. Like straight away home, I had purchased the book. I opened it and I started reading it. And in a very few minutes, within 10 minutes, I realized that my whole life I was only looking for that. That came so clear. And I started reading that. And the next days, I don't know how Krishna's arrangement, I met the devotees on Harinam. And then on Sunday, I went for the program. And like that, it went on. So Srimad Bhagavatam kind of saved my life.
Very good. Hare Krishna. Very nice. Practical realizations from one's own life of how Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai. Shyam Hari Prabhu, you want to say some things about your realizations about Srimad Bhagavatam? Either you're reading, studying, hearing, speaking, distributing, touching, remembering Srimad Bhagavatam. The idea of this seminar is to be in Srimad Bhagavatam consciousness.
I was just reading this morning, today morning only. I remember many years back I heard this statement that we should read Srimad Bhagavatam in the mood of the being the student of Srimad Bhagavatam and not the mood of speaking Bhagavatam or preaching Bhagavatam or teaching Bhagavatam. So as I was reading, teachings of Queen Kunti, first canto. I've read this before also. Not the teaching of Queen Kunti book, the first canto. What's first chapter, eighth. First canto, eighth chapter. And the 28th verse I was reading today. And Queen Kunti is saying there that she says that as far as I am concerned, I feel that you are impartial and the dissensions among the living entities only because of the social intercourse. And Srila Prabhupada, it's a wonderful purport there that how the misuse of free will actually puts us in the problem. So I was like, it was like a very fresh thing. What I wanted to share is like what I have realized in my study of Srimad Bhagavatam or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like it's always fresh. It's like this thing I heard many times, but still I was like writing, making notes, trying to change in my life, which are the areas where I am misusing my free will. And it was like very enlivening. I was reading actually before Mangal Aarti. So like whole day becomes very enlivening. I was chanting in that mood. I just have to use my free will in Krishna's service. So that was what I have one experience at Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita. Whenever we read, it's like always fresh. And all the more actually in Pilani, we are having Bhagavad Gita series going on in the classes. So there I was speaking on the ninth chapter where Krishna is speaking some Oham Sarvabhuteshu. That section was only I had just spoken in the Pilani and I come here and I read this verse. So it was also adding to the whole taste of that how Krishna is partial but impartial. So even not just from the practical point of view, but even the knowledge itself, the Bhagavatam's knowledge itself was very refreshing in the consciousness. It was like very fresh taste whenever I read. That's small thing which I wanted to share.
Yeah, yes, one of the qualities Prabhupada mentions is Srimad Bhagavatam is ever fresh. It never and always gives new realizations each time you read. Jai, thank you very much, Amari Prabhu. Jai. Rishikesh Prabhu, you'd like to come and speak something about your experiences with Srimad Bhagavatam. Rishikesh Prabhu is from Fiji. Fiji is the land where
Prabhupada said, Kaliya was sent. Right? But Kaliya became devotee. He was blessed by the Lord. Lord danced on his heads, on his hoods. So he's from the holy land of Fiji. Yes, Prabhu, please.
Hare Krishna. Back at home, while reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are also given the opportunity of reading Srila Prabhupada Lilamitra before and then Bhagavatam. That made me really attracted towards Srila Prabhupada's words and everything. So I was more attracted to Srila Prabhupada than to Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning, because of his life and because the way he went through the difficulties. And I was always interested in reading. But as time went on, we were able to continue with the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading and all that. And once the experience came that one of my close friends in Fiji, Rupa Vilash Prabhu, he was an average student in a high school. So he wanted to improve his English. And he took the help of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Just reading it, he was not a devotee or something. But by improving his, he improved his English. At the same time, he got interested in Krishna consciousness. And he was a very good mentor for us in Fiji. And today he's one of the temple presidents in Fiji. So just the aim of reading the Bhagavad Gita as it is was to improve the English. Ultimately he ended up getting into Krishna consciousness quite well versed. Now as far as Bhagavatam is concerned, I've been reading Bhagavatam, hearing from the spiritual masters, especially Tamal Krishna Maharaj, for a long, long time. But only lately, in the last 3 years it may be, it gave me a lot of inspiration. Because when Krishna was testing me lately, from every angle, when I tried to come into Krishna consciousness full time, a lot of impediments were coming. And at times I used to pray to my spiritual master, please guide me, please guide me. So nothing still was happening. But in the last 2 years, whatever impediments was coming, whatever difficulties was coming, Krishna was giving the difficulties simultaneously. He would take me to the Srimad Bhagavatam, open up the right page, the answer is there. So the main thing I've experienced as far as the Bhagavatam is concerned is that whatever difficulties one gets into life or experiences in life, or once the solution to it, the solution is only in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, or particularly the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is one of the reasons now I've really got interested, because it is the practical thing for me. I get all the answers from there. And being in the dham, the situation is completely different. Especially for the last 6 months that I'm around the place, in association of the devotees, I have no regret of being in a dham like this, even Mayapur. Especially in the association of the devotees, not only the senior devotees, but even the junior devotees. Lot to learn from the junior devotees as well as from the senior devotees. That's what my experience has come after reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the beginning, Srila Gurudev, he used to listen, only listening, 4 tapes of Srila Prabhupada every day. He used to complete, right from the beginning, right from the morning. Right? So at that time when he was doing that and all that, even when they were trying to tell us about Srimad Bhagavatam, a bit difficult, but as time has gone up, as time has passed, it gives a lot of help in the reality of life. All the impediments, all the obstacles is overcome only by the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Rishikesh Prabhu. Interesting point. This is the realization of many devotees, that they have some difficulty or some problem, and somehow Srimad Bhagavatam has just the right answer. Either the verse or the purport or both, they have just the proper remedy for our particular mental disturbance, whatever is causing us some difficulty. Bhagavatam has the answers to all the questions, all the problems. This is surprising. This realization I've heard from many, many devotees. And somehow or the other, they say, sometimes they just opened a book and the verse came and they saw the answer. This also we have heard many times from different devotees. Advaita Acharya Prabhu, you want to say something about your realizations on Srimad Bhagavatam? Hearing, chanting, reading, attending class. Even those who are distributing books, you can talk about it. Bhagavatam.
I was sitting there and thinking, you know, Maharaj should not ask me to speak. What I have seen, in especially hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the different devotees, it is filled with the realizations, heartfelt convictions and devotion of the devotees, which come out in the form of presentation of different topics and different themes in devotion service, which are very relevant and practically applicable for our life. And whenever I am hearing, I prefer to see this in the speaker when he is speaking, because there is one aspect, that is the knowledge which comes from the speaker, which he relates different narrations or pastimes or different philosophical points. But along with that, what comes out is the sincere devotional effort and the realizations which the devotees has. And that is very sweet to hear, to contemplate, to try to imbibe in our life. Because what Srimad Bhagavatam is delineating or telling us is nothing but the devotional service of the great personalities towards the Lord. That is the reciprocations which goes on between the Lord and his devotees. So many narrations are there, and it's full of emotions and feelings and qualities which the devotees are exhibiting. So especially when I'm trying to read Srimad Bhagavatam, then these very prominently comes out, how devotees are expressing different qualities. The other day I was discussing with some devotees from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the questions asked by the sages, and how they are congratulating the speaker, Suta Goswami, the Shaunakadi Rishis. They are, "You are so fortunate that you are going to speak or repeat the Srimad Bhagavatam as you have memorized and as you have realized." So just by hearing that Yatha Mathi and Yatha Dhitam, these two words, the rishis, Shaunakadi rishis, they became so glad, so happy, and they started, you know, spontaneously glorifying Suta Goswami. So when we see such exchanges coming time to time, you know, comes out in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it just enlivens our heart that how devotees should lead their life, how there should be appreciations of the devotees, how there should be enthusiasm for hearing from different devotees, and how encouragement is there. So it's very sweet, very lively. It's, you know, sometimes when we read Bhagavad Gita, like, it's, you know, instructions are there, Lord Krishna is giving instructions. Of course, they are also filled with feelings and emotions, but it at times becomes very difficult to, you know, bring out some feelings from that. But when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like juice, nectar. Everywhere we see, it comes out, the wonderful devotion and the feelings. And I have seen, whenever I have opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam or any other classes in Bhagavad Gita, so this one aspect I have always seen, that after the class, when I get down, then I myself is awestruck that, you know, how is it that I spoke what I spoke? Because when I'm preparing, I may not have thought of those aspects to discuss when I'm going to present the topic. But then somehow, it's mercy of the parampara which makes us bring out those points which I myself have not really thought of or pondered on. But somehow in the flow of the discussion, these points come. Krishna inspires those points. And so many times I myself learn when I am speaking that, oh, such an important thing that I need to imbibe, I need to practice. I am falling short in this aspect. And Krishna is making me understand through what I am speaking that, oh, this is the area where I need to improve upon. And like that. So many wonderful things happen when I am speaking also. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna. See, each devotee has so many nice realizations. As we were discussing earlier also, we see in the Bhagavatam, in the question answers, the exchange of rasa between the speaker and the audience also, like Suta Goswami and the sages. Such an exchange of feelings, an exchange of appreciation, mutual appreciation. Suta Goswami was appreciating the wonderful questions of the sages. He says, very nice, so nice. What kind of wonderful questions you have asked. Munayo sadhu prishto ham bhavadbhi lokamangalam yatkritaha krishna samprishno yenatma suprasidati. Oh Munis, what wonderful questions you have asked. Congratulations. Excellent questions. Your questions are meant for the welfare of the whole world because they are pertaining to Lord Krishna. So they ask wonderful questions in the proper way, in the proper mood. The substance is right, the purpose is right, the question itself, content is right, the speaker is enlivened, and then he speaks, he glorifies the questioners are also. This is not a mutual flattery game. It's not a game of flattery, because that's what happens in the outside world. People flatter each other to get something out of the other. So there is the glorification is there even in Krishna consciousness. But here, when you glorify, you're not doing with some fruitive motive. You're not doing it with some cunning motive. When people glorify others outside, they are cunning. Isn't it? Cunning meaning they have some other purpose to fulfill in that glorification. And they don't really mean it so much. And they want something out of that person, material. So that is not genuinely helpful to anybody. It only increases the false ego. But the kind of reciprocation that we see between the speakers and hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Bhagavatam itself is very genuine appreciation and recognition of each other. It is heartfelt and it is bona fide. It is based not purely on mundane sentiment, but it is based on spiritual sentiment. So it is so encouraging. And therefore that helps both of them progress in Krishna consciousness. The hearer, the listener, the questioner, all three are purified according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like the Ganges,
goes through the three levels, the heavenly planets, the Swarga, Bhu and Bhu, Bhu Loka, Bhuvar Loka also. All the three worlds it goes through and purifies all three worlds, the higher planets, the middle planets, the lower planets. Similarly, the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam purifies the speaker, the listener and the questioners, all three categories of people. So a wonderful thing emerges. So this is a very important point, that the relationships that take place between the speaker and the hearers and so on. And also the point about when one is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, actually we are speaking primarily to ourselves. Who is the person who benefits most from the Bhagavatam class? Speaker. Because the speaker is not only speaking, he is also hearing. You can't speak without hearing, no? When you speak, you have to hear what you are speaking also. And before you speak, you have also prepared, you have thought about what you want to speak. So you have already meditated on that topic for quite a period of maybe an hour, 2 hours or maybe more. So the speaker benefits so much because he has been meditating on this topic. And many times we find it, yes, actually this instruction is meant for me. We learn so many nice things. So good, very nice realizations. Now I want to ask one devotee come up here and speak. There's a devotee who, as I said, here we are not flattering, but it is just for everybody's encouragement. Here is one devotee whom I have never seen wasting his time. I have never seen this devotee wasting time. Every minute I have seen he is using in some service, rises very early in the morning, is there punctually. Never has there been a complaint that he has left his service and gone, that he is irresponsible about his service. Very sincere. I've never heard him finding fault with devotees, never heard him quarreling with devotees, never heard him having an ego problem with others. And when I see, whenever there is any little time, he is there with the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know whom I am talking about? See how, so Madhav Krishna Prabhu, you can come now. You have been voted. Election has taken place. So he is always with the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are sitting there at the sound system. Whenever there is time, in between, he'll never waste. He'll have the Bhagavatam and he's there. So you can speak your realizations on the role of Srimad Bhagavatam in your life. Yes. So this is important, that it's not just a question of somebody who gives class. We have never heard him giving class, Srimad Bhagavatam class. He gave? Oh, I did not. So, but somebody who is always trying to relish Srimad Bhagavatam, any spare time available, pick up Srimad Bhagavatam and sit. No gossiping, no prajalpa, no fault finding, no quarreling. Just chanting, seva, Srimad Bhagavatam, and dealing nicely with everybody. Yes.
Firstly, I want to thank Maharaj and all the devotees. I don't have any qualification.
That is why we have called you here. He who thinks who has qualifications doesn't have qualification. Right? Yes.
Actually, I feel the importance of Prabhupada books very much, because by Prabhupada books, by reading Prabhupada books especially, I came to ISKCON. When I was in 8th or 9th standard, my father brought three books, one Bhagavad Gita and two Krishna book. And he is not so much religious, but he is not Krishna conscious, but anyhow religious. And in that mood, he brought those books. And in that time, I didn't believe in spirituality and all these things. And I was thinking, it's just like bogus things and like superstition. One day, I was just reading my horoscope, and in that horoscope, my lifetime has been explained. And after reading that, I become completely frustrated, because before that, I have no idea about death, and my life becomes completely a limit, a particular span of time. And I was thinking, then why I am doing all these things, just my education and all these things, what is the value of these things? And I just contemplated all the time these things, then one day I will die, one day I will die. So by curiosity, I just I was just starting to read Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada explains so many things, but I came to know the science of changing the body, how body changes, and it becomes so much interesting to me that it inspires more and more to read Bhagavad Gita. Then I just came to the chapter of Trigun and how the material energy binds a soul. And after reading that, I become more and more inspired to read Bhagavad Gita. And gradually, in my life, whatever problem comes, I just read Bhagavad Gita and get the solution. And after that realization, I become completely fixed in Prabhupada's words. First, Prabhupada told that Krishna is the only Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are the part and parcel of Lord. And after reading those things, after reading Prabhupada's words, I completely fixed in Krishna, anyhow or other, by Krishna's arrangement. And other religiosity became valueless for me, other type of so much nonsense things. After a long period, then I connected with, yes, so many questions comes in my mind after reading Bhagavad Gita and Krishna book. And I relate with ISKCON centers, mainly Delhi and Bombay. I write letters, and they also send the answers of my questions. Gradually, gradually, the material life becomes valueless for me, and I joined Bhubaneswar ISKCON. The main thing I want to say that how much potency is there in spiritual, that means Prabhupada books, and I felt that. And for that reason, I convinced that Prabhupada books is the life and soul of a person. And when I read Srimad Bhagavatam, I first check what is my attitude when I'm reading Bhagavatam. What type of attitude I'm having? And first I prepare my mind setup. I'm just serving the Lord. And for the service of devotee and Krishna, I am reading Bhagavatam. And in that mood, I try to read Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is amazing. Actually, when I read Bhagavatam, I feel that I am just entering into a different plane that is completely different to material atmosphere. And that thing encourages me more and more and more to read Bhagavatam again and again and again. When I just, it's just like an association. When I read Bhagavatam, I feel that I am associating with Prabhupada. Because when I read Bhagavatam, it's just like Prabhupada is speaking in every moment for every problem. And after reading Bhagavatam, I can reconcile so many problems, so many complaining mood. Automatically it is solved. It's like Bhagavatam is like an elevator. That means just it elevates a material plane to directly a spiritual plane. When I sit in class also, I just seek out that what is for me. Now what Lord wants to tell me, whatever message I can get, whoever he may be, if he is giving class, I just wait for that message. In this moment, what he is going to tell me. Another thing, when I read Bhagavatam, I face so many contradictions. And I have realized that after proper chanting of Harinam, when I read Bhagavatam, I see the facts in as it is manner. That means what I have realized when I am chanting, the same things I can see when I read Bhagavatam. That is, chanting Harinam in a proper mood, in proper attitude, and very seriously, it helps to read Bhagavatam in a more confidential way. Actually, when I read Bhagavatam, I maintain a mood that what is the mood of Lord and devotee? What Lord wants to tell and what devotee wants to tell me? What is their emotions? What is their sentiments? So many nice personalities are there in Bhagavatam, like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj. And when I just read Bhagavatam, I just enter into the consciousness and the emotions of these personalities. And that gets so many realizations and so many tests. And these are the few things which encourages me to read Bhagavatam. I just want to stop now.
Hare Krishna. I remember when Madhav Krishna Prabhu first came to our temple here, I asked him, what seva you would like to do? You were trying to see some seva. He says, I want to only read Srimad Bhagavat whole day. I said, that is fine, but you also have to do some practical service. So then, we needed somebody at the sound system, so he agreed to do that. And since that day, he is doing it so nicely. Always there on time. showing us how to be a nice devotee, nice brahmachari, nice devotee, very responsible, never leaves the service and goes away here and there, never complains, very humble in the dealings, very, very responsible and nicely does till the end, till the end of the service he is there, very alert in his services. And very important point he made, the connection between chanting Harinam and reading Bhagavatam. He is there early morning, far before Mangalarti, chanting his rounds. He will be there. And then, whenever the, by the time devotees are chanting, he has finished his rounds. And then he is reading Srimad Bhagavatam. The only fault I have found in him is that he doesn't sleep sufficiently. Sleeping only 4 hours in a night. That is not enough. We need some more. We have to maintain. So he's showing us, we see so many devotees are around us. We can get inspiration. We can see how we should also be so nice. And one reads, and the important point, if we are chanting the holy name properly, then we can enter into the mysteries of the Bhagavatam. There is no difference between holy name and Bhagavatam. At the end of the day, it is a holy name that is going to help us. The Bhagavatam is also wonderful, but if you are not chanting the holy name properly, you cannot enter into the Bhagavatam. It's a very nice point. He says, whatever realizations you got when chanting the holy name, that realization comes in through the pages of the Bhagavatam. Very important realization. Another nice realization is that Bhagavatam is so relishable, you realize so many nice things, there's so many wonderful personalities being talked about, and when their narrations are going on, you actually enter into the mood of that personality. You are absorbed in that mood. So if Prahlad Maharaj is speaking or some descriptions of his are going on, then you are absorbed in that, so you are in that bhav, you are in that mood. You have become, so to speak, for some time in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. So this is how the real spirit of Bhagavatam, we have to absorb ourselves into the Bhagavatam, imbibe the mood of what is being discussed over there, the mood that is there at that moment. We see also, this is how Mahaprabhu has taught us. Whatever was the mood of the particular shloka being chanted, they would be in that mood. So similarly, now is Prahlad Maharaj's mood, a certain mood, and enter into that mystery, enter into that. And also important realization that we can actually move directly. Srimad Bhagavatam, it transports us from the material plane directly into another plane altogether. Spiritual plane. And a very important reason that he is being able to be transported there like that is because of the nice service attitude. This is a very, very important fact. We cannot understand Bhagavatam unless we have a nice, humble service attitude. If we have a fault-finding nature, if we have a nature to evade our services or our duties, if we have an egoistic nature, or if we have a tendency to be lazy, or so many other things, or to be lax in our sadhana, then it is not easy to penetrate Bhagavatam. But the service attitude is what is our real entry point into the transcendental dimension. It is only that key, that one key that can give us the entrance into the spiritual sphere. That humble service attitude. When we were discussing the nectar of instruction, you may remember, we discussed one sentence from the preface of Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody remember that sentence? Yes, Shubha Krishna Prabhu. Of the follower. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So if our attitude is right, if we are favorably disposed towards other devotees, if we are favorably disposed towards our seva, if we are favorably disposed towards the dham, towards the deities, towards everything, then automatically that attitude is what Krishna appreciates. and all these mysteries will be revealed. Rahasyam hetad uttamam. This is the topmost mystery, this knowledge of Gita and Bhagavatam. What does Krishna say? Why will Arjuna be able to penetrate into the mysteries of his? What is the verse? Yes, Madhava. Bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hetad uttam. Because you are my devotee, therefore you can enter into the mysteries of this science. Similarly, elsewhere also he says, idam te guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave. Anasuyave means free from envy. All these things imply a humble service attitude. What is the meaning of service attitude? Service attitude doesn't mean that you simply have to work hard day and night. That's also nice. It is the attitude more than the physical service. Of course, if the attitude is there, you will also do the service. But the attitude is what is everything in life, especially in Krishna consciousness. So we can see that nice, humble devotees who may be in the background, one doesn't have to be a temple president or a sannyasi or some leading preacher or a leading book distributor. One may not have many credentials to one's disposal that I have done this, I've collected crores of rupees, I have distributed lakhs of books, or I have done this, or so many things we can do, which is also wonderful because it is all being done for Krishna. It is also nice. But even those who may be in the background, who may not be seen by many people, who is seeing what is going on behind in the sound system? Are we seeing? We don't know what is happening behind there, behind closed doors, who is doing what. Things are going on. When any time, any problem, everybody will go and shout, or raise the volume, decrease the volume, this is not working, that is not working. And very nicely, peacefully, does everything. So this is the service attitude that actually will help us enter into these mysteries. Hare Krishna. Very nice. So for now, we'll take a break of about 10 minutes or so. We can all take the lime juice. And then we'll meet again after 10 or 15 minutes. And we'll talk again. Hare Krishna. So shall we start? Everybody has had Nimbupani? Yes? Hare Krishna. So see, the realizations of devotees are so helpful for us. We may get new insights and new realizations just hearing from others. Because Krishna consciousness is so perfect, it is so unlimited, like a diamond. A diamond has many faces. And whichever side you look at is beautiful, each has a unique side to it. Similarly, Krishna consciousness gives unique experiences and realizations to different devotees. And when devotees speak with their realizations, then it is enriching for everyone. Everyone gains. I'll now call upon Govardhandhari Prabhu to come and speak for some time. He's from, actually originally from Lebanon, or Jordan. Was born in Lebanon. But he's from Costa Rica, right? Brought up in Costa Rica, Central America. San Jose. So he speak a few words on his realizations on the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Hare Krishna. So my first contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam maybe was when I think I was 8 years old, because my father, she passed away when I was 7 years, so that happened after. I was looking for some spiritual help from that time. And I found in our library, in our home, 2 books, Srimad Bhagavatam, one in French, another in English. So I asked my mother about this book, and she told me, once your father met some person in one airport in Paris. She was with him, and they offered the Srimad Bhagavatam in French. My father, she spoke French, English, and other Arabic and other. So he was joking with the devotee, and he asked, "Do you have in Arabic? Because I don't speak French." And the devotee said, "No, we don't have in Arabic. No yet. After some time, we will have." So my father, he said, "Okay, give me in French. I speak French." So I found this Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, one small book. I think maybe only the first, second, and third chapter. And maybe I was 8 years old, so I was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. That was my first contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Later, when I was maybe 40 years old, I met the devotees, and they started preaching me, and I became devotee in 15 years old, joining to ISKCON. And I was in the secondary in that time, so I had a spiritual master. In that time, I took initiation. 16 years old, but I was in the secondary. Was some exception. So when I finished the secondary, I asked my spiritual master, "What to do now? Our devotees in the temple, they said, go to the university is terrible, is only for materialistic knowledge, etc., etc. Because our temple president and local leader, he was criticizing the system of education. So my spiritual master, he had different mentality. And he said, first he asked me, what is the desire of your mother and your family? So I said, my mother, she wants to send me to the university. So my spiritual master said, okay, we don't want problem with your family in this country. So please go to university. We don't want problem with them. So I went to university but he said me, first, please go to the temple for 1 year and get proper training. So I left my home for 1 year. Yesterday, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was telling about this sannyasi who his mother was very, very sad, but he had 27 brothers.
26 children, okay. Yeah.
So I have only one brother, but my mother was very, very sad. And in that day when I left my home, my mother and all the ladies, our family, they left maybe 2 days before. They don't wanted to see my departure. So, but I left one Srimad Bhagavatam in my room, first canto. So she was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, and after 1 year, when I came back, she was very peaceful, and she told me about the history of Narada Muni leaving the home. One experience for me very important is when I met my spiritual master. He said to me, you never met Srila Prabhupada. I met Srila Prabhupada, but you never met Srila Prabhupada. But you come to meet Srila Prabhupada and taking darshan every day, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading the Srila Prabhupada books. He don't say exactly Srimad Bhagavatam. So please read every day, minimum 2 hours, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada books. And from that day, I started reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Srila Prabhupada books, every day, minimum 2 hours. And from that time, maybe because I am his first disciple, all my god brothers and god sister, when we are in the initiation ceremony and he is asking about the four principles, so we say the four principles, and also we say reading the Srila Prabhupada books minimum 2 hours every day. This is one extra rule for us. I have one history very important for me regarding the Srimad Bhagavatam. Some service that I am doing in Vrindavan is caring for the sick devotees. Devotees living for leave the body in Vrindavan. So I had contact with many devotees in that condition. In 2007, I was carrying one devotee from Bangalore, one very particular devotee. Maharaj remember him because Maharaj, he went to visit him daily. Guru Sharam Prabhu, remember him? Mm-hmm. He was one real sadhu, very, very particular devotee. And he liked hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was very, very special devotee. So our team was, we were reading the Srimad Bhagavatam every day, and he was very very happy here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the last days, he was very weak. So the members of his family, they were reading the Srimad Bhagavatam in his language. From Bangalore, what is the language? I don't know. Oh, Karnataka. Okay. But I remember, because I was in this room, the last day, he got inspiration hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was one real sadhu, one very, very special devotee. In the last moment, for the last week, he stopped speaking. He was only chanting and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto. But maybe 3 hours before, he started speaking with us, and he was speaking loudly, and he was describing something, some situation in the room, and he said, "Can you see? I am in one forest, and so many flowers and trees with bright colors, everything is very nice, and there are some girls, and they are singing, dancing, and doing nice service." And he was describing how each one was dressed, all the girls. And he said, "But they are focused in one point, performing like one Arctic kirtan, etc. But I can't see because the light is very bright. I can't see properly." But finally he said, "They are the Sakis." He was in the last moment before left the body. And he said, "And they are inviting me. They are calling me." And he started crying. "They are inviting me. They are calling me." In that moment, he left. He got inspiration here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I was connecting this experience with other service that I am doing in Vrindavan, is guiding parikrams around Govardhan and explaining the different pastimes. And in Govardhan, in Kusum Sarovar, happened one very nice pastime regarding the Srimad Bhagavatam. When the queens of Dwarka, after the Krishna departure, they were very, very sad, feeling separation of Krishna. So they came to Vrindavan trying to enter in Yamuna River, and leave their bodies. When they came to Yamuna, and they saw how Yamuna was very, very happy, laughing. So they asked, "Why you are very happy? Krishna was very, very close to you. In fact, one of the names of Krishna is Yamuna Jivana. He's the life of Yamuna. And he was performing so many pastimes, Yamuna, Tata, Banachari, etc., etc." So Yamuna Devi, he explained it. She explained it, and she said, "Because when Lord Krishna left Vrindavan, going to Mathura and Dwarka, all the Brajavasis, they were very, very sad and suffering a lot, and almost the activities were stopped. But later, they recovered the life because he sent one high personality to Vrindavan. And this high personality is Uddhava. Uddhava was very dear for Krishna. Uddhava was not only one of the princes of the Yadu dynasty. He was the cousin of Krishna, and he was also very, very dear of Krishna. So Uddhava came with this message, speaking with the Vrayavasis about how is Krishna, etc. And they recovered the life. So Yamuna Devi, she said, please, the solution is you have to take darshan of Uddhava. And they asked, where is Uddhava? Uddhava is living in three places in this world, performing tapasya in Badarikashram. He is prince in, he is one of the prince in Dwarka, and he is living in Kusum Sarovar, in the form of one
blade of grass.
Yes. So they went to Kusum Sarovar and they started one kirtan, chanting the holy names, the glories of Krishna. Suddenly, Uddhava came in his original form. He came from this plant. Okay, the pastime is it's not short. But the thing is, they started hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from Uddhava for 1 month. And after 1 month, they entered in the Nitya Lilas of Krishna. So the Srimad Bhagavatam can give us also it's like the door entering to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. So we all headed back to the eternal pastimes. Everybody wants to go? A lot of service to do before you go. So nice, some very personal realizations from his life and his services about how the Srimad Bhagavatam is so important for all of us, how it can help us to actually penetrate into the higher dimensions of Krishna consciousness. It's very important. Madhav Gopal Prabhu, you want to speak something about your realizations about hearing, chanting, reading, remembering Srimad Bhagavatam?
So it's joy to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Specifically because of Radhesham Prabhu's Monday Bhagavad study circle, we got the test for Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we was in Pune, so every Monday Radhesham Prabhu used to speak on Bhagavatam, taking different themes and pastimes. So it's our always means we are always meditating when that day will come, and we'll just sit in front of the Radhesham Prabhu and hear the Nityan pastimes of the different personalities. So for me, Bhagavatam, there are many different prayers, Kunti Maharani or Prahlad Maharaj, Chitraketu, and like that. So reciting prayers for me is like life for me. And secondly, when I started reading the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that was because previously I was used to read many newspaper. In that, the scientists were telling that now we are reaching moon, we reach here, we reach there, we found water here. So I was always, wondering, what is this? The different planets and grass. But when I started reading fifth canto, it was mysterious for me. And it gave me so knowledge about the entire universe. And then I'm thinking, so Parikshit Maharaj is dying and he's hearing all these things. So how important that it's not just really hearing the pastimes, but hearing the description of the different planet systems and the creation. So what I realized that it is not just the pastimes, but the philosophy is also important for us to progress in Krishna consciousness. And that's why I always desire to read the Srimad Bhagavatam more and more. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, this is a very important point. It's not just the pastimes, but also the philosophy. The philosophy also gives a lot of nourishment to the soul and to the spiritual intelligence. With this nourishment, we become very spiritually strong and we can withstand the onslaughts of Maya. And when so many difficulties come in life, etc., we are able to understand with some discrimination because we have heard from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And yes, the prayers also, it is one of the regulative principles of devotional service, Rupa Goswami says, that we must recite notable prayers. Notable prayers means that we must recite the prayers that have been recited by great personalities in the past. And the prayers of the Srimad Bhagavatam are exemplary prayers for us. Prayers of Brahma, prayers of Prahlad, so many other prayers, Kunti Maharani. So these are actually very, very important for us. We talked day before yesterday about how it is important for us to recite verses and prayers. So we can take up some of these prayers, say Kunti Maharani's prayers and so on, and just recite them as a daily practice with few devotees. This is also very penetrating because it is the instructions of Rupa Goswami and the scriptures also, that we should chant these prayers of the exalted personalities, we will remember. Prabhupada says, as in the case of Gajendra, and Gajendra remembered the prayers he had chanted in his previous life. And those prayers actually saved him, because he called out helplessly to the Lord and he offered prayers and lotus flower and so on. Somehow or other he was blessed with memory of his previous life for these prayers. So similarly, Prabhupada explains in the purport that when we also chant these notable prayers, then it will save us in difficult situations, especially at death. Death may come unannounced. And so if we are chanting, if we have the habit of chanting these prayers, then these things will be there in our mind on the tip of the tongue, and when it is necessary, it will come to our help. So every day we chant Shikshashtakam prayers, and we have so many other standard prayers that we chant every day in the temple. Plus there are prayers like Brahma Samhita and so on, which all the devotees should learn by heart actually. These prayers are full of meaning, full of philosophy and full of nectar. And all these things will actually nourish our heart, nourish our spiritual life and make us strong. Krishna Balaram Prabhu, want to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam? What are your realizations? Now Srimad Bhagavatam has affected your life.
Hare Krishna. The first book that has very much influenced in my spiritual life is Science of Self-Realization. And after joining temple, then I read Bhagavad Gita for some time and then I directly started reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was okay, but in 2003 I exactly started reading Bhagavatam very seriously, and sometimes I used to like get up, most of the times I used to get up early in the morning, and I would read 1 hour Srimad Bhagavatam first, and then I would attend Mangalarti like that. So almost like my whole 9 cantos I finished like that. So I had one wonderful experience out of that when I used to read 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Kapil Dev explains about the miseries of the life, how a soul is suffering. So that time I was in Gokuldam, I was doing some service there. So there was rain, and then this earthworms were up there. So the rain has subdued, and now earthworms were there, little sun was there. So a few earthworms were still on the ground there, and there were some ants. So the ants were attacking the earthworm. And you know, the earthworm, it is trying to move in the different directions to protect itself from these ants that are trying to bite the earthworm. And then for some time when the earthworm shakes, the ants will go away. And then, and it started moving, and then all the ants will come again and attack. And it shakes for some time, and then ants will go away, and it start moving, and all the ants will come and attack. So I just realized that when, how the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it says that this world is filled with misery, so this is what the real, actually, I realized that, like how the world is filled with misery. Because then I realized that how many times I would have gone through this kind of species of life. Now I am so fortunate that by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and so many Vaishnavas' mercy, I got the opportunity to enter, at least approach what is spiritual world like that. And some of the things also very much inspiring when I read Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially one of the things I noticed in my life that by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, my attention for chanting the holy names of the Lord has increased a lot. And I understood one thing that when Krishna Bhagavatam said Dharma Swanishta Pumsha Vishwakshinakta Notpadrati Medhistamaya Vaikevalam, this verse was one of the important thing for me, because it has inspired me. Whatever I am doing, if it is not increasing my attachment and love towards Krishna, is just waste of time like that. So and also I try to learn some nice wonderful prayers, and I draw a lot of inspiration from Srimad Bhagavatam. Basically, because I see that so many devotees been given mercy, especially I get this wonderful verse in 7th canto, Satyam Vidhatum Nijabhukta Nijabhrutya Bhashitam. To make his devotee's word truth, Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, my Lord is there in the pillar. And also Brahma said, yes, the Hiranyakashipu cannot be killed by this way, killed by this way. And keeping all the promise of Brahma and keeping the promise of Prahlad Maharaj, Narsingadeva appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu. So it gives a great inspiration that if Lord could save and protect his devotees, so I am also, of course, I am very fallen, very conditioned, but definitely Lord will also show mercy upon me. So I try to recite sometimes this wonderful shlokas and other things like that. And especially I like the wonderful, beautiful description about the pastimes of the Lord, especially the 10th canto, explaining the beauty of the Lord. And how, especially in the first, the second chapter of the first canto, how a gradual development of the devotion happens. And one of the things helped me, one verse is that Shushusha Sadhadhanase Vasudeva Kataruchi. So I have been thinking from long time that how I can develop my taste for hearing chant holy name of the Lord for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So when I read this verse, of course I have read this several times, but few years back when I read this verse, that by serving the devotees, one get the opportunity, one get the taste in the holy name and hearing katha. So then that actually inspired me to somehow develop the mood of the service towards the devotees, so that I can develop my taste in Krishna katha and hearing the holy name of the Lord. In fact, I have found some of my times it went like that. I just took Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever I take Bhagavatam, I take, generally keep my notes. All the time I wrote the notes. If some analogies are there, then I make a table and make some charts and make some diagrams and understand like that. Like that, I do my study of Bhagavatam. So sometimes I have found myself that I have just stuck with the book and I'm sitting with the book. I'm reading and reading and reading. 2 hours and 3 hours just pass by like that. And I never realized that how the time has passed. And then it was a great joy to read. And I observed one more thing in my life, that when I started reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it is actually developing our attachment to Krishna and to the holy name. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So for every devotee, there is some unique things. One can learn so many lessons about our existence by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Whether that the material world is a place of misery or so many other lessons to learn. We talked about how it was necessary to chant well to be able to penetrate into Bhagavatam. And here we also have another angle, that by studying Srimad Bhagavatam sincerely, it helps you to chant the holy name better. Right? So which is correct? Both are correct. Yes. So therefore we do both. And each nourishes the other. So we chant the holy name, it helps us to study Bhagavatam and hear. We hear and study, and then it helps us to chant the holy name. So this is mutually nourishing and reinforcing. So Prabhupada has given us a complete balanced program of spiritual development. Just like a doctor gives us a balanced diet. It should have proteins, carbohydrates, everything should be there, vitamins, minerals, everything. So similarly, Prabhupada is the transcendental doctor. He has given us balanced diet for the soul. Holy name. He knows that if you have only holy name, you can't chant 24 hours a day. Can we all chant 24 hours a day? So he has given us a variety of diet. He has given us some salty items, some sweet items, some so many fried items, some so many different types of varieties. So there is chanting the holy name, there is hearing Bhagavatam class, there is festivals, there is deity worship, there is so many things, practical services. And if it is done in the right attitude, then all these will eventually help us. And all the particular angas of bhakti in our life will become stronger. So if you chant well, you will be able to hear well and study well. If you study well, you'll be able to chant well and do your service well. If you're doing your service well, you'll also be able to do the other things well. So all these are mutually interconnected. So if we do these things very sincerely with a nice, humble service attitude, then our spiritual life will just blossom. It will flourish. Also, another point made was that we can all have our favorite sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam, something that appeals to us more. Some may like the prayers, some may like certain pastimes, some may like something particular, some descriptions of the Bhagavatam. So we can all have our favorite sections, which we may like to read more and more, because we are all different individuals. And the Bhagavatam is like Kalpa Viksha, like a desire tree. All your spiritual desires can be fulfilled there. If you have a certain taste for serving Krishna in one way, the Bhagavatam will facilitate that. So the Bhagavatam is just an endless treasure house. We can do so many things just by taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Madhavendu Prabhu, you want to come and give your realization on Srimad Bhagavatam? He likes reading Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's books, and especially his commentary, right?
Hare Krishna. Actually, I feel very fortunate to be with this ISKCON movement with Srila Prabhupada, especially ISKCON Vrindavan. Before joining, I was wandering around this brojo with the Babaji, Gaudiya Math. You will not find anywhere the Srimad Bhagavatam class at 8 o'clock. In the morning. Others are just running or
और रानी अपना मधुकोरी और भंडार इत्यादि इत्यादि कहीं ना पाइट भागवतम क्लास देर. सो या वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू बी हियर एंड आई फील लाइक द भागवतम क्लास इज द इम्पोर्टेंस ऑफ भागवतम क्लास आई जस्ट रियलाइज फ्यू डेज अगो. It is too late for me. Now I am going outside for preaching out of Vrindavan. So there is not much standard of Bhagavatam class. No good speaker, no means Nectarian Bhagavatam class is not there outside of Vrindavan. So many good, highly advanced devotees here giving classes, like Maharaj is here. And many devotees here coming from outside. Nasi's gurus are giving class here. So we are very fortunate. Those who are living here in Krishnavaram temple, I can say they are really fortunate to have Bhagavatam class every day here in Krishnavaram temple. That's like the importance of the association of the devotees. If you go outside in the village area, no devotees are there. If you find one tilok kantimala devotees, any other sampradaya, you will just feel like embrace him. Like the importance of the association of the devotees. But here we don't feel like, oh, many devotees here every day, we are associating. So we don't feel like importance of the association of the devotees. Similarly, the Bhagavatam class, when you are outside and no Bhagavatam class, then you will feel the importance of Bhagavatam class. And here in Vrindavan, one more thing is that I was actually with Prabhuji, Jonathan Prabhu, looking for the speakers. So I always feel that there is shortage of speaker. There is always shortage of good speaker in our movement. I always feel like, and I always complain also. we need many speakers, good speakers, good standard speakers. So I think this kind of seminar, this kind of, will actually create many, many good speakers for our movement. And whenever I give class, sometimes I give class when there is nobody, no speaker. Like somebody is supposed to come to give class and he is not there, so I have to jump on the session sometimes. So I play to Prabhupada. Now this is now to me, I have to give, so please, if anything bad, it is going to ISKCON or to you. So you make me to speak something so that it will be okay. No bad name will come. So I pray to Prabhupada very sincerely. And in the class, I feel like I got the blessings of Prabhupada. I got like the blessings of Parampara. So nothing actually goes wrong. And one more thing is, like, reading Bhagavatam book, I can say I am hardly read Bhagavatam actually. But before going to the class, I always read the verses the speaker is going to speak on. I read that verse and the purport of Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes I just calculate myself. This verse, this speaker is going to speak 1 hour. Nothing is there to speak. Now I will go to his class and I will see what he is speaking. sometimes I test. I give the... Dharmatma Prabhu is organizing, but before... I always read the Bhagavatam from Shloka, and sometimes I just check the speaker, who can actually speak on this verse actually. So I check the speaker sometimes, like this. So now I just go, before the class, I just read the Bhagavatam. Today also Vaishnava Prabhu gave nice class. There is nothing to speak actually, 1 hour. You can see the PowerPoint. Like so I went to the class, I was surprised. Oh, such a nice class, such a pandit, he's like a pandit, no? He connected from the lotus to that story, the Gajaraj story, all this. So I feel like, oh, it is really nectarian class here in Vrindavan. You'll not find outside. You'll not find in other sampradaya, in Babaji, Gauri Mat, and in other ISKCON center also. Maybe in Mayapur is okay. Maybe in Mayapur is okay, or Bombay is okay, but not an other small center, like Project Wall, not in Chandigarh, not in Kanpur. So I feel like very fortunate. And recently I realized the importance of Bhagavatam class. So after coming, this time I was telling to Vaishnav Prabhu and other devotees, you know, that I will not go again out of Vrindavan. I want to just stay here, listen the Bhagavatam class. From now I will not miss the Bhagavatam class. Now I understand the importance of Bhagavatam class. So please bless me so that I can stay with the devotees and I can actually read Bhagavatam more and more and I can actually success my life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. If you glorify Vrindavan temple too much, then all the other temples will become empty and everyone will come here. And then how will the preaching take place? So Mahaprabhu wants the preaching to go on in every town and village in the whole world. So Krishna Balaram Mandir must generate preachers, and then eventually the number of preachers must increase so much that we'll fill the world with preachers. But yes, the value of something is felt when you don't have it. Familiarity breeds contempt. So when something is there easily available and day after day, then you don't feel it so valuable. You may sometimes take it casually, take it for granted. But when you don't get it, day after day, then you start feeling the difference. And you realize the value of what you had earlier, but which you took for granted. So this is a good point about the Srimad Bhagavatam class. When it's there, we feel, we take it for granted. And here, most devotees have an option, English class, Hindi class, option is there. For those who know both languages, always an option. But when we are outside, many times there is no option. Or as he said, there is no class even sometimes. And other places, there is other sampradayas or something, there is no concept of having a regular 8 o'clock Bhagavatam class. This was Prabhupada's genius. Not only a whole diet Prabhupada gave, but also a perfect timetable where we would do everything systematically at the right time. Janardhan Prabhu, you wanted to say something? So the heart of the whole morning program is a Srimad Bhagavatam class, because that rounds off the whole thing. It culminates. It concludes everything. The auspicious end, culmination of the whole morning program. Of course, some people will say there's something more auspicious after that. When you take Krishna Prasadam. But nevertheless, this is correct. It is the most auspicious culmination. And see Prabhupada's genius, how he established such a wonderful timetable that incorporates everything. There is japa, there is kirtan, there is association, there is darshan, there is worship, there is hearing, chanting. Everything is there in this one morning program. Such a power-packed morning program. If somebody simply does the morning program sincerely, every day, he is assured of success over a period of time. There is no doubt. One after the other, these things will happen. And yes, also the fact that here we have so many nice speakers coming, visitors are coming, and this fortunate facility is not there always for all the centers and all the temples. Outside when we go, we see that. How people are spending their time, what are they doing at this time? They are mostly busy with their, as he said, Madhukari, are going for so many things. Prabhupada cautioned about this very much. Yes, Janardhan Prabhu.
But the class goes on. Class goes on every day, same time. The Hindi class. So Janardhan Prabhu is saying that how in Vrindavan it's even more fortunate than Mayapur, because in Mayapur there are plenty of Bengali speakers, but those who don't understand Bengali, through the year they may not have opportunity like we do here in Vrindavan, where there are speakers everywhere. So yes, as Madhavendu Prabhu said, we need more and more speakers. Everybody should, apart from doing their service nicely, apart from doing their chanting of the holy name nicely, they should also relish and read Srimad Bhagavatam, so they can also become very nice speakers on behalf of the Guru Parampara, on behalf of Krishna. And just one last speaker, we'll call Pran Govind Prabhu. You want to say something? Come. Then we'll conclude, and tomorrow, of course, we still have things to discuss. I would have liked to call everybody to come and speak, but it will take too much time, isn't it? And so we'll see tomorrow also if it's possible, but we can. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking, Maharaj, that what I would speak if I am given chance. So again and again the same thing came up, that actually whenever I hear somebody speaking that they relish, so I feel that when will that day come when I'll also start relishing. So
Kabe Habe Shei Din Amar, isn't it? That's what, right? There is a song, no? When will that day be mine? So this is a very good sentiment to have actually. We should also feel like that. Every one of us should feel. When will I be able to also relish? Like, yes, go on.
Especially when I see, when Maharaj was about to call Madhava Krishna Guru, when Janardhan Guru was called, after that I was stretching Madhava Krishna Guru that you should go. That, because he has such a relish in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever I just find, how can he make notes all the time? Because many purports go when I read Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, hardly sometimes something clicks. Otherwise, it's the same thing. Srila Prabhupada is speaking the same thing. What's the difference? So I see purport after purport, the same thing Prabhupada is speaking. I cannot make out, but yes, sometimes when I again read and some devotee has spoken, like Bhakti Vasham Madhav Maharaj, or one time Devamrut Maharaj spoke, so that gives sheds a light on something which I went through that purport, it never clicked. Or like Gaurang Prabhu speaks. So they have such relish, they can relate the pastimes, and they can relate the same purport in a very different way. Like same way Vaishnava Prabhu morning spoken things, he related with Gajan. I didn't hear the whole lecture, but at the end when I went, he was relating that how the trunk of Gajan, then with that he was offering the flowers. I couldn't get the whole thing, but the way he was speaking, I saw Sri Kesha Prabhu, he had his face just like wonderstruck. What's happening? It was so dramatic, because such devotees can relish Srimad Bhagavatam so much. So I only aspire that someday I can also relish that, because one thing I have got this hint, at least, that when I heard so many devotees speaking previously also, that only I'll get out of my troubles and bodily consciousness only when I get immersed into the sentiments of the devotees and in the Bhagavatam. Like one devotee one time said that when we are reading any pastime, we should get into that mood of that devotee. So yeah, Madhava Krishna told. So that when that day will come, so I pray to Maharaj's lotus feet and everyone's lotus feet. I can get that taste.
Hare Krishna. So this is an important point, that we should desire to have that stage when we can relish. we should desire to have the right kind of enjoyment. Most people in the world are aspiring for a certain kind of enjoyment that they see in the outside world. When will the day come when I will be able to enjoy with this much money in such and such place, material enjoyment? So we need not say for spiritual enjoyment, but at least when can we relish talks about Krishna? So that is very, very nice attitude to have. We should all cultivate that sentiment. But of course, we should also act on that platform. So even though we may not actually have relish, or we may have relish, we have to continue to hear. And by continuously hearing, automatically relish comes. And what does the Bhagavatam say? How does that relish in hearing Bhagavatam come? Who can quote the verse? Yeah, that is service. Yeah, can you quote the verse? Yeah, that's the right verse. So how to get relish in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? That's here.
Shushusa Saddhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Seva Nishevanat.
Punya?
Punya Tirtha Nishevanat.
Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. Yes. What does it mean?
With the mood of the service attitude, Shushusa Saddhanasya, with the faith, Vasudeva Katarchi, one develops the taste for the hearing of the holy name, Kata of the Krishna. Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Punyati, I don't know that.
That's the main part. That's the answer. Who can explain this verse? Who can explain the meaning of this verse? Yes? You want to explain?
San Mahat Sevaya Vipra means by serving the great souls.
Yes.
One can.
So, Shyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevana. Nishevana, Nishevaya refers to service. So, when you do Mahat Seva, Mahat means the great devotees. So, when you do service to the great devotees of the Lord, then what happens? Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. The relish or the ruchi towards the Srimad Bhagavatam and the narrations of the messages and pastimes of Krishna arises in the heart. So this is very important. Again, we come back to the same point. The humble service attitude is what is crucial for developing taste for hearing and chanting. If we consider ourselves as humble servants of all the others, then it is very easy and natural for that taste for hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name to arise in the heart. So this is a very, very important point. Okay, since we have just 2-3 minutes more, Sri Kesha Prabhu can come and give, since your name was mentioned. Since he was looking up with great awe in the lecture, so he can speak just a few minutes and we'll conclude then the class. It's almost 1 o'clock.
Hare Krishna. So almost all the devotees, they spoke very nicely, which inspired me.
Why almost all?
All the devotees, all actually, the devotees. Sorry.
All the devotees.
All the devotees, they spoke, yes. Which inspired me. I mean to say almost all the points they said, which inspire devotees to study, read and realize the Bhagavatam. So personally, I felt that in the beginning, as we know that, especially in India, coming from means all over all India, everyone knows about Krishna, Rama and Bhagavad Katha. In practically every language, the Bhagavatam has been translated also. So in my home also, mother used to read Bhagavatam in the local language. And she used to tell the stories of Bhagavatam to all of us. But that was like in story form we used to hear. But the point which I want to say is that unless and until we approach a devotee, we come in contact with a devotee, and we hear from a devotee who is practicing and living the principles of Bhagavatam, we don't get inspired to dedicate our life or you don't get inspired to study more and more Bhagavatam. So when I met a Hare Krishna devotee, and then he gave me the Bhagavatam first canto. Before that I was reading Bhagavad Gita, I was not able to understand properly. When I asked questions to him, he gave me the answers. Then he gave me the first canto Bhagavatam in a very bulky, that which is now also available. So I was reading that, and I was again and again asking the questions. So only through a devotee who is living by the principles of Bhagavatam, then only I could understand what is Bhagavatam. And then I was hearing the lectures, His Holiness Gaur Gobind Swami Maharaj in local language, and then eventually His Holiness Radha Gobind Maharaj, and then Prabhupada also. So by hearing those lectures, then I developed the taste to read and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And then after joining in the ISKCON also, when I got initiated, I saw that Maharaj has very special taste in Srimad Bhagavatam, and in many time interaction with him, he has told me, and he has told to many devotees also, whenever he meets, that please read Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely and scrutinizingly, and it will help you to progress in spiritual life. So like that, I took that as instructions also. So I am reading Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. So especially, as we know that we should read Srimad Bhagavatam from first canto, second canto, and by serially. But when I was in other temple, so I was having some problem in my spiritual life. Then I picked up the Bhagavatam, the specific sections which inspires me to remain in ashram and celibacy throughout the life. So therefore I randomly read third canto, and then fifth canto, then the seventh canto, then the ninth canto, the Jati section, then the 11th canto, the Uddhava Gita. All the overlook, I just to inspire myself to remain fixed in the ashram life and in the movement. So that gave me a lot of inspiration. Whenever some problem comes, I just read those sections, those which give me inspiration to go on in the spiritual life. And recently, 1-2 years back, I when started the preaching programs, so whenever I read Srimad Bhagavatam, which some sections or some lines of the purport, which gives me a lot of inspiration. So I note it down, just like Maharaj said, he has noted down some 20 years back. I also write down in my diary. And one thing I felt that, first thing is that reading, of course hearing, and then personally reading Bhagavatam, and taking your notes, marking the important points, and then speaking, which gave me a lot of inspiration, especially when we meet to other devotees or preaching programs or Bhagavatam class or to any other person, when we quote the Srila Prabhupada's statements, which gives me a lot of inspiration, then when we quote others, that gives inspiration to others, at the same time it remains in our consciousness, in our mind, fixed. I do generally using the technology, mobile SMS or email. So whatever the points Prabhupada says in some particular purport, I send it to 10-15 devotees, whoever I have contact, and I generally to whoever I preach, and I have good relation with the devotees. So Prabhupada's purports from different books like NOI, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam. So this I do, that the important points which I note it down, then I mail to others or I send SMS to others, and they also get inspired. They say, thank you Prabhuji, at the time of need you send me the message, which inspired me a lot. So then that message gives me inspiration also. Not only reading and hearing, when we speak to others, that remains in our mind. Just like recently I read a sentence and I sent to many devotees and they gave me reply also. Thank you also, they said. Just like Prabhupada says the definition of tapasya in Nectar of Instruction. A human being is meant to be trained in certain principles to revive his original knowledge. Such a methodical system is called tapasya. So this sentence gave me so such inspiration. I sent to 10-15 devotees with SMS, through SMS. And then also they replied me back also, thank you for giving such nice statement. And I also contemplate on this and how I can practically apply in my life, personal life. And this year, 2010, in the beginning of the year, I also made a commitment and I seek blessings of the devotees, Maharaj and others also, which my spiritual master gave me the instruction also to study regularly. So unless and until we take some kind of bhav or commitment, we will not able to do. It's like Maharaj said, you make a group and sit together and chant the slokas and repeat the slokas and memorize, try to memorize the slokas. So I made a commitment that 2010 beginning from January, I'll daily study Srimad Bhagavatam, so much so that even if I before going to bed, I should read one sloka every day. If I have no time, at least one sloka with purport, small also, some section also, some part of the purport also I should read and I will go to bed. And I'm trying to follow that also. So I seek the blessings of the devotees so that I will be able to follow and fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual master and others. And such kind of forum, just like we have here, it gives lot of inspiration to how to study Bhagavatam and attend the classes, and especially here in Vrindavan, we get lot of inspiration. So this taking some commitment and to regular study and recite the prayers, memorizing the slokas, it helps us to progress in our Krishna consciousness very rapidly. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So some important points here also, that it is very important to have good sanskars in one's upbringing. But ultimately, until one meets regular devotees and hears carefully, that Krishna consciousness does not flower. So the association of devotees and the systematic hearing and training in Krishna consciousness is very, very important. And also that whatever we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever we hear Shravanam, we should speak. Whatever we read, which is also another form of Shravanam, we should also speak. Just like reading is another form of Shravanam, writing is also another form of Kirtanam. Generally we think Shravan means to hear the sound vibration, which is true, and Kirtan means to speak, which is also true. But Shravanam can also mean reading, because Prabhupada is speaking or Shukadeva Goswami is speaking, and we are hearing through the eyes. Similarly, when we are speaking, not only through the mouth, but we can send by email or by writing, written word, and so on. So whatever we hear, if we talk to others about it, that is the best way to retain that knowledge. If you hear but don't speak, then it will be lost. But if you want to retain it, the Shravanam, Kirtanam. If there is Kirtanam, then there will be Smaranam also. So if you do only Shravanam but no Kirtanam, then the Smaranam will not be there. So this is an important point, that we should speak to others in different ways available and possible for us. And yes, also some such resolve that I will every day try to study something with a determination. Not a vow, because a vow is something very serious. If you break the vow, then that's not good. But at least some kind of a determination that I will try to do this every day. It's also good for a devotee. Helps to make one strong in one's sadhana, one's Krishna consciousness and so on. So Srimad Bhagavatam has all these wonderful qualities about it that can attract our life, attract our heart and make our life perfect. We have been hearing now about qualifications for hearing and speaking, and we also saw the heard the realizations of so many different devotees now. I'm sure that all of us have been very, very inspired, and we got many realizations from all these different experiences that we heard. Some were very personal, some were philosophical. How many of the devotees, how many of us here liked all these realizations that were given by the devotees? I also. See, everybody has relished. So thank you very much, those of you who spoke. And thank you very much, those of you who heard and relished everything. Yes? One question. Last question, because it's time up.
We know that Chaitanya Charitamrita is little like PhD slavers. Then why Prabhupada put Srimad Bhagavatam as, you know, regular study rather than, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Because everybody is not postgraduate. And even Srimad Bhagavatam is not just an ordinary work. As we discussed earlier, Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Paramhamsa Samhita. It is meant for Paramhamsas actually. And when we come to it tomorrow, we'll see who is Srimad Bhagavatam meant for. That will make things clear. It'll answer the question more clearly tomorrow. So we'll stop here then, and we'll meet tomorrow for our last day at 10 o'clock in the morning here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari.